my generations. So I praise your name. My generations. Please, may we stand up while we pray. Thank you. Lord God Almighty, the unchanging God, the Lord who is, the I am that I am, the Lord who is mighty to save. Our God, our Father, our strength, our hope, our shield, our buckler, our prosperity, our greatness, our peace. We are before you. And we appreciate you. Thank you for that which you will do now. We receive your blessing with thanksgiving. We rejoice in that which you have given. And we say thank you. Let all ears be opened. Let all hearts be opened. Let all impediments be taken away. Everything that is against truth, everything that is against righteousness, everything that is against glory, leave this place. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I thought not responding to praise the Lord was part of coming out of Babylon. Praise the Lord. We were told that our voices were like the voices of many waters. But you are saying it in a way that is not sounding as if it's the voice of the Almighty. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! I'm happy that we are crossing over. Because there are wonderful things in the crossing over. But please come with me. If you ask me for the title, it seems I will not know how to put it very well. But in the course of our discourse, you will get it right. But if you still want to put something down, I will say that the chariots of fire are already here. Can you say it with me? The chariots. Say it with me. The chariots of fire are already here. You didn't say it as if you are saying it, as if you know that they are here. Say it with me. The chariots of fire are already here. We will try to connect few prophecies and relate these prophecies to the crossing over. Now, the glory that the crossing over effects upon us. That's my interest. 1 Samuel. Let's try to pick from 1 Samuel and look at certain prophecy. 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. Then Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and they camped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, On what condition will I make a covenant with you? That condition is that I may thrust out your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. Hear the condition of the covenant. Nahash said, if I will make peace with you, if I will make a covenant with you, you must allow me to thrust out your right eyes. Do you agree to that? You didn't say it loud. It means you agreed. Listen. You want to make peace. Nahash said, if you want to make peace with me, on what condition will I make peace with you? That is, you will allow me to thrust out your right eyes. Why do you want my right eyes? He said, because I want to use it as a reproach to all Israel. Who is Nahash? Nahash simply means the serpent. Who is Jabez Gilead? Jabez Gilead is the heap of testimony, or the house of testimony, the sanctuary of testimony. Genesis 31 explained to us how altars were raised, the pillar and the heap, between Jacob and Laban. You already know who the serpent is. Revelation chapter 12 tells us it is the same old man, Satan, the deceiver, the accuser, the destroyer, the one from the beginning who was envious of man. Our brother was ministering in the morning and he said that it was not everything about the reign of Saul that was evil. This particular story was the time of Saul. But it was when Saul was still in the spirit. That's the first 2 years of his anointing. So it's very relevant. The men of Jabez Gilead are God's own people. The people with whom God have entered into covenant. Why they are sought? I want to just go straight. Why they are sought? To reproach all Israel. There's a story from my village. Listen carefully. There was this man that you may call an imbecile, because he was not normal, but he was an hunter. So one day, he went with the hunters of the village for hunting expedition. Throughout the hunting, nobody killed anything except this man who was an imbecile. He killed a partridge. But because the rest of the hunters termed him to be foolish, the other people from the next village that came for the hunting, they declared that partridge for them, that this man they called an imbecile did not kill that partridge. On their way, they went about 9 kilometers into the forest. On their way back, they started mocking this man. Look at you. When we say you are sick, you say you are not sick. Now you killed a partridge, and a man like you took it from you. You see why we are saying you are foolish? That's how they started mocking this man. The man never answered. They laughed and laughed and laughed until they got to the last river and they are looking at the village. And they were going to bait. And they continuing their laughter. Then the imbecile responded for the first time. He said, wait, that partridge that I killed and you people declare for them, they all chorus, it is because you are foolish. You have no sense. He said, okay, wait. Those hunters from the village, do they know my name? None of the people knew his name. Then he said to them, you see, they don't know my name. When they get to their village, do you know what they are going to say? And they said, what will they say? The man said, they will say, we defeated the Ibia people and collected a partridge from them. When he says so, it's as if a veil was taken off from their eyes. They said, what? It is true. The whole hunters started pursuing after the other villagers. Remember, 9 kilometers from, plus 6 kilometers extra, 15 kilometers. They pursued those people to their village. Those people were already entering the village. They said, stop. What's the problem? That partridge that is with you, give it to us, or every one of us here dies. They say, ordinary partridge. Say, there's nothing ordinary about the partridge. Give it to us. And when they saw the seriousness, they took the price and said, take. The story I'm telling you happened in my days. So when they brought it, the 330 said, hey, it is now you have done well. And the man took the partridge and took it home. Listen carefully. You have been wondering, why is Nahash after you? You are thinking, I am being singled out. But the truth is this. He is looking for an opportunity to reproach all Israel. And may Israel understand. You see, this is not a matter of, well, she is an Igbo. I am an Efik. Anything that happens, it doesn't concern me. Oh, what? No offense, Chegbo. I want to call a new. Can you share me here? It is not my own. It doesn't concern me. It's not touching my fellowship. I'm not interested. Most of the time when we say, let us pray, it will amaze you that on the other side, if he's an Ibian man like me, huh, you will hear Brother Johnson. Barry Seku! Yana-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta! But if it had to do with another person, another brother, we'll just sit on the chair. You can fall to sleep in that process. Even when they say stand up, you will not stand up. But if the person is a close bosom friend, you will not sleep. Sorry, the attack of the serpent, the attack of satanic kingdom, it is not just intended for you. For he understands that whatever happened to any part of the body will affect the entire body. Okay, so you say, what have I done? Listen carefully. If you look at the story of Nash, you may say, how does this relate to the man of Gadaren? Listen to prophecy, and you will see that it is the same story. Suddenly, all male in Jabesh Gilead were going to lose their right eyes. What was left for them? What was left for them? The left eye. What do you think that means? For the right eyes to be taken away and the left eye left simply means that, look, the devil could use the left eye to his own advantage. Remember, we're not talking about physical eyes. It means that the left side, the negative aspect, the negative thoughts, the negative imagination, the negative doctrine, the negative opinions about life, about the way, about existence, about sustenance, about privileges, about opportunity, about prosperity, all the positive aspects was going to be taken away. What is left will all be woes, stories of woes, complaining and murmuring, pains, stress, distresses. And do you know that many of us here, because of the things you have passed through in life, your opinion about life is no longer according to the scriptures. Yes, many are here. Truly, you are here, you are sitting down, you are jumping up. But let me tell you, if you were putting on divine scale or you were passed through a discerning light, it will be discovered that you have become very negative about life. You have become very negative about the way. You have become negative about faith. Many of us say, well, I have waited. Whatever now happened to me, it doesn't really matter. I'm just following. If I die, let me die. Let me tell you, there's a dying that will be according to faith. There's a dying that comes from fear. There's a dying that comes from yielding to God's intention and purpose. And there's a dying that comes out of frustration, out of fear, out of intimidation, of darkness. And if you die on such platform, you will not be accepted. Hallelujah. Now, let's just look at some scriptures and how they define the eyes. Number one, it says, the eyes trusting could mean, one, if you look at Proverbs 15:30, this is what for me. It could mean loss of vision, loss of fulfillment, loss of achievement, and lack of inspiration. Proverbs 20 verse 8, if you look at his view about the eyes, it will mean that thrusting out the eye means loss out in power, the loss of authority, and the loss of dignity. You will need to cross-check those scriptures. If you look at how Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 14 defines the eyes, it will mean that plucking out the eyes means a person without insight, without cancer, without intelligence, void of sound mind, full of confusion. Now, if you look at how Matthew chapter 6 verse 22 and 23 define the eyes, it would mean that removing the eye means you are denied sound head, abundant life, healthy spiritual and robust relationship with God. I just decided to pick few scriptures that define what the eyes will represent. Let's put them plain. Plucking out your eyes will mean, one, presently, you are so confused about the ways of God. You don't know anymore whether you are moving forward or backward. Let me put it this way. It might mean that the joyful experience that you usually have when you devote time to seek the Lord, now, if you do the same, you do not have the same robust visitation. If you look carefully, the loss of vision may mean, in this first plane, that here you are with the scriptures. Each time you pick the scripture before now, it's like heaven just got opened. And every line and every word meant a lot to you. There is divine breathing upon you by the Holy Spirit. You feel like tearing the pages of the scripture and chewing them. But somehow, you don't know what happened. You not carry the scriptures. Even with the help of Strong's and all the dictionaries, you know that it's as if you are looking for a fish in the desert. Many of us, you pick the Bible, if you are watching films, home video, you don't sleep. But immediately you pick the scriptures to read, bye-bye. By the time you hear, even the alarm you set at 3 a.m., the alarm will ring till 7:15 before you will hear the first alarm. Let me tell you, it will mean that spiritual ventures that used to steer you up, like gatherings, like prayers, like fellowship, you know, these things have been shared. When it is said, it's as if one is, you have become like an Iroko tree that is just struggling to walk. This is the oppression of Nash. Let me go down to the second point I mentioned, which we took from Proverbs 20 verse 8. The loss of power, authority, and dignity. Notice, one of the things that made people to think that this way was standing on a wrong footage was this. Suddenly, a man that used to lift up his hand and the heaven will come down. Suddenly, you pray. It's as if one is pouring a bucket of water on Olumo Rock. Things that used to happen in your ministry, they are no longer happening. Now listen, this has led to some of the servants of God devising all manners of method and techniques to try to tell the people, look, the anointing is still here. How do I mean? Let me tell you. If my laying hand on the head of a man just to be healed of headache is going to place upon the head of the man 50 kilograms of extra weight, then I'm killing the man and not releasing the man. What do I mean? Well, I know that the Holy Spirit seems not to be operating or doing the things he used to do through me. But now, I still want to show that the anointing is there. And then I start kicking people and then placing hand and pushing them down so that they fall. Let me tell you, if you are ministering to people, you look at me. Just judge my weight. I will not tell you my weight. Then judge the weight of this hand. Judge a man that is kneeling down already on a hard ground. Judge me putting this whole hand, not only placing it, but exerting strength on it. And then, because something is wrong in the release of power, I try to help the Holy Ghost. So I push down. Listen also, this thing is manifested in the format of prayers that we do. Check out your master and my master. Ephata was enough to cause the ears of the deaf to be opened and the mouth of the dumb to be loosed. The word, go, daughter, thou art made whole, was enough to cast out the demons of 38 years. Will thou be made whole? Take up your bed and walk, was enough to cast out the demons that held this man down by the pool of Bethesda. Nash, when the right eye is removed, men that are ordained for great things, men that God have anointed, suddenly feel there's no more power. And especially in the aspect of dignity, I don't know how you feel. If you were really at the other side of the river, you know, some of the brethren, a lot of the brethren, never were at the other side of the river. So you will not blame them very much. But some of us that wore those cassocks and treaded big, and you speak great and swelling words, whether they were true or not, but the people responded. And the response of the people boosted your ego. Boosted. Let me call that ego anointing, because it did work. Let me tell you. Because when Elisha could not manifest the anointing at a specific time, the shout and the ovation from the brethren, that little music boy that was called, stirred faith in his heart. Now, you know, sometimes, now here you are at this side of the river, and you are introduced, and you are walking to the platform like a fowl that fell into water. Nobody cared to say hallelujah. Nobody cared to say praise God. Even when you say praise God, they will say, is this man just coming from Egypt? As if praise the Lord also is Babylonic. No ovation. Nothing to stir you up. No great name. No respect, as it were. You discover Nash. And you know, when Nash is in operating, even the very brethren that you have been so greatly used to bless, they start calling you devils and demons. And they start getting dreams and revelation. Just like somebody had. He said, brother, I saw you. You carried cutlass and you were pursuing me all around. And I laughed. And this is somebody that I was waiting on the Lord for some time for. Praying, waiting, fasting and prayers for her. And she came, said, I saw you. You joined my enemies. At first, I kept quiet. By the second time, I said, wait. Why was I pursuing you? Let me call the... By the time she discussed why I was pursuing, I now pointed her to God's word. If this was the reason, don't you think this is what God was saying? You need deliverance. You need help. Now, how do you, even amongst the place, you think that, well, if even I'm not in the spirit, listen to this, my brethren. If even I'm not in the spirit, the very closest elder is going to boost me by praying for me. You think it's easy to stand here to preach? If you enter inside me, you will discover some part of me shaking. And it's true. You think it's easy to pray. When I was marching like this, as if the ground is going to open, and you just enter it, I told my brother, are you praying for me? Most of the times, the people that ought to support you, you physically will know that nobody is supporting you. And you know, immediately that thing takes you in, it is showing the enemy is gunning for your right eye because you are not looking right. Let me explain. And please, coming out of Babylon, let me say this. Coming out of Babylon, especially if you have dwelt sufficiently in the realm of Pentecost, it does not mean if you are not under a wrong spirit while you were there. For there are many who are under a wrong spirit. If you are not under a wrong spirit, the giftings from the course of Pentecost is not evil at this side of the river. We know we are growing out of a lot of things now. I remember teaching about healing. After teaching about healing, a beloved brother got up and said, brethren, this is not time for healings. Those are impart realms. I prophesy by 1993, the manifestation of the sons of God will take place. And I said, amen. But when he finished, I got up. I can't kick against that ministry right there. But I say, praise God. That's wonderful, brethren. We are looking to God that the manifestation of the fullness will happen by 1993. I said, but if you know that that sickness that's upon you now, you cannot bear it till 1993. Please come out. Well, those who could not bear it came out. And I said, brother, let's minister to them. I will minister. There were healings. One of the things that affected me as a person was that the fear. Because the first time you try to, you say something, you want to say it. You feel, well, if they ask you, how did you say it? What are you going to say? So you kept quiet. You see God moving, healing. You see it. If you have that gifting, you will know. If the anointing of healing is in place, you will know. You will see it. But in such situation, when such anointing move, you look around and say, Babylon. Yes, I'm saying to say, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, come out, come out. But listen carefully. For example, yesterday, while we were worshiping, time would not permit yesterday. Something happened. I saw every, both men and women, those that have accidents on their legs, that have broken bone, those that have iron fixed into their legs, those that have sores that were not getting healed, and those that had poison in their legs, I saw them lined up. And as they lined up, before they got to this center, they started jumping. As they were jumping, both those who have irons in their legs, they disappeared. And they were walking straight. I said them, some were leaping as they were leaping. At four, first, they will be falling. But as they were doing that, healings begin to take place. Sores disappear. If you have any form of infirmity on your legs, place your right hand there now. I saw somebody leg turn black. It's as if you have treated rashes so much. Your leg, you are fair, but your leg is turning black. Put your leg on that, your hand on that leg. Lord, in the name of Jesus, all spiritual yokes upon the legs of your people, including braces, including iron, implanted, including broken bones that were not straightened, including poison, including elephantiasis, all disease that have power to affect the bones and the flesh, especially now the leg, I command those unclean spirits to leave. In the name of Jesus, I command the legs to be straightened out. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you want, start exercising that leg. Because it's necessary when he said, what do you see? Why was the Lord testing the eyes? He said, what do you see? He said, I see men like trees. And then he touched it. It was because he wanted him to exercise his faith. Now, I said Ecclesiastes. I don't know. There's something that is happening and the Lord is going to do something to read. Whether it is by age, there is an attack that is going on. And people are tying it to aging process. Suddenly you discover that your memory is failing you. That also, it is satanic arrangement. How will you remember if you are a servant of God to minister when you are here? You prayed, you studied. Now, you want to recap. Suddenly everything seems to be flying away. In fact, when such an attack came upon a brother, if you are discussing, he said, hey, what did I say just now? You now remind. This brother is not old. Think you about Abraham? What about Methuselah? Was he stupid in his old age? Not able to control his mind? Forgetful? To the point of carrying cups and you did not remember you are still holding a cup. There's a specific person I'm talking to you directly now. You carry things in your hand and you did not remember there's anything in your hand until it dropped. That's not God. That is a sign of the enemy bringing reproach. Paralysis. Unable to coordinate your minds are right. Okay. Some of us have 10,000 plans, but none is materializing. Something is happening. One plan, one single genuine plan, breathed upon by the Holy Ghost, is enough to turn somebody's destiny around. But you will plan by the time they ask you, brother, what do you want to do? Want to help you? He said, yes, if I go into printing of books, I know I will make it. By the time 3 days later you are called, he said, hey, I was just thinking that if I cook food for the national conference, I will make money. By the time Brother Ike calls you, hello, Sister Ojugo, are you ready? Say, you see, I wanted to go to a bar market to buy some okrika to sell. Now, you must know the reason why the enemy is doing this is because he knows as long as you are not able to coordinate your plan aright, you will be a reproach to the church of God. He knows if your business fails, you say, Kana, business carnality. And here people are quarreling over food. The meat they started with in the first day was bigger than this. They have reduced the rice. So if somebody talk about food and prosperity, you say carnality, you are wrong. Believe me honestly, if there is a church that have ever prospered, it's church. Do you understand? If there's a church, you are seeing, you say, hey, these people, the church is rich. This church will be richer. I know you have a mentality that it is Babylon that are rich, and that when a church is rich, it is carnality. You are wrong. Why did God in Hagar said, from the day you start building my house, watch, I will open the resources of heaven to you. After concluding the prayer, said, hey, listen, silver and gold are mine. The glory of this letter, I know you quickly spiritual glory. The spiritualizing of glory in that very verse is a misinterpretation. They were building a physical temple. They needed silver and gold to build. The glory in that physical temple will be the wonderful decorations in that temple. And if you are building the end time body of Christ, tell me how you are going to do it without money. I know all we are looking for is that we just go from here, we just disappear, and you appear in Germany, and then you preach. Then you disappear. Then you find yourself in Australia, you preach. Wonderful. But before we get to that level, you need to enter. Are you going to trek from here to Togo? Ask the Togo brethren. Am I going to start a journey from Lagos and trek to Freetown? Ask the brethren from Syria alone. They will tell you, such things not happening yet. Yes, we have been transported by revelations and visions, but we are waiting. It will happen physically. But let me tell you, even when they are happening, if you get there and the church in that locality are in it, are you also going to transport them? Maybe to heaven to eat the tree of life. You will need to clothe them. You will need to feed them. You will need to solve their problem. So silver and gold will be needed. And God will bless me. Okay. I say God will bless me. God will bless me in silver and in gold. God help us now. Okay. Let me quickly now connect this Nahash of a thing. Now, when Saul was gathering the army that were going to fight against Nahash, the place he gathered the army was called Bezek. And the word Bezek would mean either the sun shining in his full strength or the lightning of the thunder. The place he numbered them, Bezek, where he numbered the army that were going to fight against Nahash, it was in the place of the lightning, in the place of the thunder, in the place of the sun in his full strength. Now listen, each time you read in prophecy and you read light, some of us interpret it to mean lamp. Light. You interpret it to mean lamp. No. Light is speaking about the sun. S-U-N. And in definition, whether you say stars, day star, light, or refer to the sun, S-U-N. It's amazing that the scripture is saying the way that they defeated Nahash was by their numbering at Bezek. Now, what would this mean? Remember the man of Gadaren, let's look at it in prophecy, how the light appeared. And then I think I'm okay and we will pray. If you look at Isaiah chapter 9, a prophecy is there. You know one thing that have amazed me, which I want to say is this. Each time, brethren pray, Lord, send that delight. Oh, send that delight. Holy Ghost, send that delight. Oh, send that delight. Because their knowledge of the light its season, its appearance, the reality of it now is not known. We pray as if the Father is now presently sending the light. And now this is funny. And that's why the things we are expecting do not happen. Let me try to say what I mean here. In Isaiah chapter 9, we are told that in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, there was a dimness, a darkness, because of the light affliction. But the prophecy said that afterwards, did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of nations. The scripture says here that light was going to appear in the region of Jordan. A great light was going to appear beyond Jordan. And this was going to be the deliverance that the people were going to experience. But do you know what Israel were looking for? They were waiting, looking into the heavens, and expecting that one day, either a real star was going to fall on the earth, or some shooting stars from heaven was going to appear around the region of Galilee, and then deliverance will come. But this was a mistake in interpretation. Let me say something. When brother was ministering yesterday, he mentioned about apostolic doctrine. And it thrilled me. If you ask me to define apostolic doctrine, this is my own definition. The way the apostles look on the scriptures, period. Remember, at this time, there was the interpretation of the scriptures by Pharisees, by Sadducees. Their interpretation of the scripture differed from the apostles. That's why it was called the apostles' doctrine. For example, thou shalt not muzzle the ox's mouth that treaded the corn. The Pharisees and the Sadducees insisted that, look, if you are not going to find yourself in hell, when you are using an oxen to walk, you must allow the ox to eat. This is what the scripture is saying. Is that not a great interpretation? But the apostles came and said, do you think that God was talking about an ox? So you see, that thing, was that a logical interpretation to the mind? How can you say that an ox is now a servant of God? Do you see how many of us ask a lot of questions? An ox, for God's sake, is a cow yoked. But Paul said, this is servants of God, period. Listen to me. Many of us, when you are going for healing, listen to why we are finding it difficult. You are going, and you are going towards a brother, and he said, turn back. Go back to your seat. You look at him and say, hey, pride and arrogancy, they have come. See them, they are not boasting with anointing. Instead of him to pray for me, he's asking me to go back. Why did he not lay hand upon me? Is it, who is he thinking that he is? Listen, that instruction, turn, go back, that is apostles' doctrine for that moment. If you do not accept it, you will not see the salvation of God. Many of us, we are clamoring for miracles. We are clamoring for signs and wonders, but we are not on the proper footage. Listen to this. A sister had this bleeding problem. For weeks, she was bleeding. And she came and said, brother, pray for me. As I stretched my hand to pray, the Lord said, don't touch her. Tell her to go. Thursday, 4 p.m., it will stop. So I turned. If the master said 4 p.m. Thursday, it will stop, why will I, suffer myself directing and shouting and screaming? So I said, sister. He said, yes, brother. I said, go back home. 4 p.m. on Thursday, the bleeding will stop and it will never come again. I didn't know what was in her mind. It was Thursday, 4:15. She ran down. Brother, I'm very sorry. What's the problem? He said, when you told me to go back, I said, look at him. The boy I raised up. In fact, she's a sister that helped me to grow. In fact, he said, see him. Because he feels he's anointed now. How can I come to him? And he told me, go back. Do you know how bleeding affects? Do you know how many times I fainted inside my room? So she went away grudging. It was on Tuesday. But exactly 4 p.m., the bleeding stopped. Then I said to the sister, sister, if I had laid hand on you, having heard 4 p.m. Thursday, and I prophesied all the whole prophecy, it will never change the time that the Father have said, you will still have waited till 4 p.m. on Thursday. Listen carefully. Many of us, you say, how many of you have problems on your throat? Move forward. You will see them looking at the right and at the left. If nobody is getting up, he says, I claim it by faith. You are lying. You did not follow the apostle's doctrine. That is, the man who is ministering, his interpretation of what the Lord is about to do. So that's why, when you see, say, come forward, you see people running, say, where are they running? Look at them, where are they running? This man is manipulating them. You are wrong. If we do not change our minds at this side of the river, look, God will pass you and be healing. Why do you think it is easier to cure people and to get people who are not in faith healed than Christian? Because Christian, they will question every of your move. If you stretch your hand, say, what is in that hand? If you move backwards, say, why was he dancing backward? If you sit there and say, pride, instead of this brother to see, you do not know whether it's even worse that is. The ways of the brother is tired. He's stooping. You say, what was he making a chant media? Why did he bend that? Okay, why did he raise one leg? You see, listen, there are many scriptures I will point out to you that you would think the apostle misinterpreted. Very many of them. That's why the Sadducees said, these people are in error. How can you say that the light, for example, listen to this interpretation. In the temple of Ezekiel, he saw a vision that they built the temple. And from the treasure, water was coming out. And from that physical temple, there was water going everywhere. Isaiah has prophesied it. Hezekiah helped it. He decided to divide the river Gihon, and divided it to Jerusalem with the mind of dividing it to the temple. So that when the water flows to the temple, then the water that goes out of the temple will be healing the nation. That was their interpretation. But Jesus came and said, on the last day of the feast, and he said, ho, everyone who is thirsting, come and drink, as it is written, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Listen to the apostles' doctrine. Jesus was not the one who made the other statement. Go and check. John now said, this he spake of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given. So, water. You now say water is the Holy Spirit. Are those not the questions that is going through our mind? How can you say Bezek means light? You are now saying the light means another thing. Isaiah prophesied that light was going to appear in the region of Galilee beyond Jordan. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus appeared on the scene and started manifesting the glory of God, Matthew said, this is that which is written. The people that sit in darkness, great light has appeared to them. Great light has appeared. Was it a bright light that blinded somebody from heaven? No. The Son of glory himself walked into that region. Now, how are you going to partake of the release from Nahash this night? How are you going to partake? Isaiah said, arise and shine. Listen, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. I want you to note, beloved brethren, that if you relate in this dispensation to the scripture, in the terms of the Old Testament, you may be making a mistake. Let me explain what I mean. All prophecies of the Old Testament were all pointing to the future. But every prophecy in the Old Testament, if in the New Testament, you are pointing again to the future, you are wrong. Let me say, arise and shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Who is the light that was to come? Can you help me? You didn't say it well. Who is the light that was to come? Jesus. Who was the Son? S-U-N. For the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness shall arise with healings in his wing. What Son was coming? He said, I am the bright and the morning Sun. Do stars shine in the morning? I am the bright and the morning star. I am the morning sun. So, listen carefully. Now, we need a divine intervention. See what we are praying. We say, Father, as you said in your word, yeah, I will send light. Yeah, Father, open the heavens and send light. You have just broken a scripture. Unknown to you, you violated the scripture. For the faith that we speak shall not say who will go into hell. That is to bring up Jesus. Or who will go into heaven. That is to bring him down to save us. But with the faith that we are talking now is inside of me and in my lips. Don't misunderstand me. You know we are at the other side of Jordan. And I know every one of us want to experience great deliverance. Like the man of Gadarene. Remember that the man of Gadarene was a reproach to Israel. You don't know? Any person who was entering that coast, this violent man will be the first person to welcome you. Where are you going? He will beat people and chase them away. But on this particular day, he was coming to do the same thing. Remember, he was coming from the region of the dead. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9. The land of darkness. Reading from verses 11 of chapter 8 downward. Those who dwell in the region of the dead have seen great light. This man was in the tomb. Listen, our brother said, while he was cutting himself, why was he cutting himself with stones? Many of us are doing the same thing. Because you think that to get a miracle from God means that you must exert and pay certain sacrifices fast and fast. Then you can come and say, now I am ready. You are just cutting yourself with stones. That is why some of us, unknown to us that we are the ones that have problem, we run to spiritual churches to get healing. You are cutting yourself with stones. Some of us think that to get out of financial problem is to get more loans. And I'm stuck in here. There's somebody here. You ought to pay at least 22 million back within a week. Now you are in great trouble. You don't know what to do. Running around will not do it. Because it will mean cutting yourself with stones. You are connecting friends and doing all the connection possible. All you are doing, you are cutting yourself with stones. You want to be healed. You are in the church. The glory of God is moving. It is there you walk out. You say, I am going to eat. Let me eat first and come back. That food becomes a stone cutting you. Because it has not allowed you to cash on the presence of God for that moment. Now what are we saying? When Jesus appeared, this man was coming to disgrace Israel. But when he saw the Son of Glory, when he saw the chariots of heaven, the man bowed. You see, there's something about the other side of Jordan that have amazed me. Look at this. I ask you a question. Now that Jesus Christ has gone to heaven, how far is the Son, S-U-N, of glory from us? As far as our foolishness. Why? When Elisha saw the glorious chariot, the chariot, the lightning, the thunder company, when he saw fire and horses of fire, he was amazed and he shouted, my father, the chariots of Israel. At the other side of Jordan. But you know what? When he came to Jordan, he used the mantle. Sorry, a lesser power that he was to graduate from. That's what he used. Where is the God of Elijah? Bam. But listen carefully. You know what happened? On that day, since the light appeared, the chariots never departed. People have read, and the chariot took Elijah to heaven. It was not true. The chariot of fire never left Elijah. They were always there. When the king of Syria decided to take him, and the servant was panicking, he said, Lord, open the eyes of this young man. And the man saw chariots of fire. Where? But let me tell you, believe me honestly, the chariots are here. More than 10,000 chariots entered into this place. Why? Because the light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Jesus, you say he has left. Let me tell you, the man Jesus is closer to you than your heart to your body. But you know what the devil said? The devil said, well, I will have to pray very hard and believe very strong so the anointing may come on me. Then if you will, you can heal me. Anyhow, I'm ready to go this way. And the father said, oh, thank you, my son. Since you are able, like Paul, to bear the thorns, I won't trouble you anymore. Until you know that today is what I'm interested in. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is hope that may not come. But today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. He said, thus hear the Lord, I shall do a new thing. The Spirit said, please will you say it this way? Thus hear the Lord, I have done a new thing. He said, I see you being, you will be healed. And we quickly say, amen. And now I said, remember, it is you will be healed. But if you look at 1 Samuel, he said, tell Jabez Gilead, by the time the sun is hot tomorrow, deliverance will come. Please get it. He said, by the time the sun is hot. But we know that the Son of Righteousness, about 2,000 years ago, came in his full glory. The sun has never ceased. Do you hear me? My sun is hot. It cannot be brighter than it is now. He said, when the sun is hot, deliverance will come. Now, the sun is hot, brethren. Did deliverance come to Jabez Gilead? Yes. But you know what the Lord told me? Let me just tell you this simple. In my own language, he said to me, he said, look at me. If you will be an instrument in my hand, this you must know. I said, I am that I am. In, listen, Revelation, because I was trying to put the picture. Why did, is it King James? He said, God, who is? Before he said was, and is to come. Why did he not say, the God who was, is, and is to come? Why? God, this in the now. Because in him, remember, there's no darkness, there's no night. He is the light. He is the glory in that city. He's the one who gives light. So no day, no night. If I put it this way, if there's, is it not the evening and the morning are the what? The first day. The evening and the morning are the second day. The evening and the morning are the third day. When you do not have evening now, how do you not number yesterday and tomorrow? How do you relate to that? Yesterday and then tomorrow. That is, he is God who is. Why did he put was in the front? Because he is able to take your rotten past, bring it to the reality even today, put it in the proper measure, better than it would have ever been. The God who is to come to the people who are a bit shallow in knowledge about him. Why did he say, little children, I know you are strong. Old men, elders, I know you have known him. Why did he talk about knowing him? Jesus said, son, if you will help your generation, if you will help my people, let them know they must relate to their tomorrow now and relate to their past now if there will be a definite change. Is it the issue of tomorrow again? No. Because where you hear his voice, the same gospel that was preached to them, which they procrastinated into the future, the same gospel is being preached again. He said, today, now, if you hear his voice, everything about Nash will go. He said, my son is hot. That's why he said, the chariots of fire are here already. Through many scriptures, he showed to me that a child of God, for example, the Holy Spirit does in us three main major, I didn't say all, three major visitation. One, at the point of you being convicted of your sin and turning your life over to him. Two, at the point that you turn your life over to him and you are presented as a new branch and grafted. The third visitation, he is not going anywhere. He is with us. He is in us. He is for us. How do I say it? Let me tell you. If you go and open your eyes now, you will see that the Lord of glory himself is not only standing, but he's totally overshadowing this whole congregation. Not only is he overshadowing all the congregation, Jesus Christ himself is standing by every individual that is here. What are the wound of Nahash? Is it spiritual? Now is the acceptable time. The man across Jordan immediately saw Jesus. He was going to attack him as usual. You know what? You know, blessed brethren, for simplicity, we are learning to be simple too. When you have senior brothers that are very simple, you learn. But somebody walked into my house and I was doing cleaning and I was very dirty. So when they walked in, they said, "And we want to see the man of God in this house." I said, "Okay, please sit down. I'm coming." So they thought I was going to call the man of God. I was the servant of the house anyway. So I just cleaned up my legs and just came in like that and sat down. To cut the story short, after discussing, I said, "You see, Sunday will be too busy for us because we may not know when we will close. Will you be chance on Monday?" She said, "Yes." As she was going, the Spirit spoke to me and said, "She's saying you have not declared a fast for her." So I called her back. I said, "Come, sister." I said, "You are thinking that I have not declared a fast for you." He said, "Yes." I was thinking, because I went to this, I don't want to call their names now, I fasted for 21 days for deliverance. I went to this. I was meant to fast, dry fast in 14 days. Nothing happened. I went to this camp meeting. For the past 2 years, I have not missed that camp meeting. But nothing has happened. I have fasted and fasted. But you did not ask me to fast. That's why I was wondering. Then I quoted the scripture. I said, "Why do you bother yourself? Was it the child that was epileptic that Jesus asked to fast? How possible was the child to fast?" I said, "If there's any person who's to fast, why don't you leave the fast to me? I am the one who said, the Lord said, this time do not go out except by fasting and prayers. So if I don't have faith, leave that for me. On Monday, come." You know, as God will glorify his name, what she has fasted for 21 days for 14 days for, but Monday was there, within 25 minutes, because we spent some time casting her, the Spirit cried out and left. The woman fell down and started saying, "Is this what I wanted to kill myself for?" What are we saying? Listen, whatever body you carry, agree with the Spirit of grace. Agree with the Spirit of signs and wonders. He said, "Now." When is he going to do it for you? When will he settle your mind? Oh, okay. To the people, husband spirit have been your problem. When will that spirit leave? Okay. Brother, I have been fighting with poverty. Every employment, after 9 months, I am always sacked. When will it stop? It's no longer tomorrow. What of the money yesterday? Brother, if you know the suffering, oh yeah, moti jia, meune. He said, "Brother, give me a bucket. My tears will fill it. If it is the tear that will solve it, let us cry and die. But if tear will solve it, Jesus Christ will not need to come. But who is the solution? The Son of Glory. Brethren, I call you. Number one, let me say this. If you have had any problem, I feel this. You are matured. I'm not saying if you are 19, 20, 23, don't come out, husband spirit. Don't trouble yourself. But you are 30, nobody's saying anything. You counted. In fact, if you are the oldest person here and you are not married, now, This is the set of people who first of all speak to. If you know you are matured for marrying, whether a man or a woman, please come out now. You know the funny thing? A lot of men say it is sister who had the problem. You are lying. You say it is that I am planning. You are getting to 40, 42, 48, 52. You are getting gray hair. A man, you are still planning. You need deliverance. The channels are here. The channels are here. The channels are here. Watch. The channels are here. The channels are here. Any of the cases that have to do with unclean spirit, any of the cases that have to do with ancestral spirit, any of these cases that have to do with curses, because the Lord of glory have decreed, the light has come. I break those curses. I break those covenants. I run away this reproach. Satan, come out. The charos are here. Jesus. Let the anointing of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, which Jesus is, move through these now. Let demonic materials that are planted into bodies to make people ugly, masks that are worn on face of people so that nobody sees them, let those masks fall off. Are you ready now? The yokes are broken. 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 Touch this lady in the back. Yes, touch. The one, okay? Put the left, yes. The yokes are broken. The yokes are broken. In the name of Jesus. 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 Oh. Now the anointing is moving. Now ministers of our God, move through. Release these prisoners. No, release them immediately. Yes, unclean spirit, begin to cry out and go. You can no longer stay. Begin to go. Begin to go. Thank you, my Father. Begin to go. Leave. 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 In the name of Jesus. Okay, brethren, I'm going to lay hand upon you now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the day of deliverance has come. Be loose. Thank you, my Father. Let's move forward a little bit. Be loose. Be loose.
are loosed.
Hallelujah. Let's rise to our feet from the audience. It's deliverance time. And the Lord has filled this entire house. And we are going to pray. I'd like the elders to join us in this time of ministry. Let there be space in between. Somebody will touch you by his power. And the glory of God will hit you. And you will be free. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all spirit husbands, all spirit wives, afflicting these people, in the name of Jesus, your time is come to leave these bodies. In the name of Jesus. Now all who are in front, repeat these words and say, in the name of Jesus. Say it very loud. In the name of Jesus, I renounce all covenants of marriage between me and a spirit wife or spirit husband. I reject you. I believe Jesus Christ has set me free in Jesus' name. This minute, I embrace the liberty in Christ Jesus. I receive my freedom in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. If you are standing in for somebody, just lay your hands on your chest. The person, wherever he is, the power of God will hit the spirit. Ask them when you get home. Begin to pray for them, all of us who are standing, and let's begin to believe that the Lord is setting these ones free. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when hands are laid on you, you go back to your seat in the name of Jesus Christ. Give room, brethren, go in their midst and minister amongst them. The glory of God is upon this place. The glory of God is upon this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We command those spirits to come out. All strange spirits, curses, all forms of spells cast upon you so that you cannot marry. I command a revocation. I command those spells to be revoked. I command them to be revoked. I break every curse. I break that which has been laid upon you. I command you to be loosed. I command you to be loosed. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, unclean spirits, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. 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 Let there be liberty over this place. Let there be liberty over this place. Let there be liberty in this place. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. Shandama Sandro Vale Badayatasha. And dream and acute shata parole visina. Masonde la Bababaha. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, blessed be God forever. Thank you, mighty Father. Thank you, mighty Father. Thank you, mighty Father. We declare your liberty this minute. All spirits contrary to the life of Christ, I command you to show yourself up and leave this place. This is the gathering of God's people. This is the gathering of God's people. I charge you to leave in the name of Jesus. You have no business here whatsoever.
Right now,
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be God forever. Blessed be God forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Precious church. Sister, you are free. In the name of Jesus, go forth and be married. All disappointments are terminated. And all the various plantings in your vessel are broken. And you're free. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Raise your hands and say, I am free. I am free. I am free. Say, I am free. In the name of Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Thank you, mighty Father. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord our God forever. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be God forever. Thank you, mighty Father. We destroy the yokes that have hindered you. We break the yokes that have hindered you. I command all chains to be broken. I command all chains to be destroyed. In the name of Jesus. Let all yokes be broken in the name of Jesus. Every form of spirit and curse behind Jesus that have held you, I command it to disappear. I command it to be broken this spirit. Break in the name of Jesus. Break in the name of Jesus. Break in the name of Jesus. My sister, you are free to reach forth. And in the name of Jesus, reach for a big man. Whatever has been done, let it be broken. Let it be released. In Jesus' name, sister, you are free. In the name of Jesus is here. Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, we want to take one more prayer item, and then we are going to pray generally for everyone. Praise the name of the Lord. And if hands have been laid on you, you are free in the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember that this is the activity on the other side. I want us to notice something. Jesus crossed over to the other side, handled the man of Gadarene. And after the man was released, he crossed back to the other side. And from when he crossed back again, it was to the cross to complete the acts of redemption. Of course, there were a whole lot of other activities that took place, but the major thing he did on crossing over was deliverance, freedom. A people must be in the right shape to move into the next stage of God's work. Amen? Amen? We must be in the right shape. And the man of Gadarene single-handedly took the word of the kingdom to 10 cities. 10 cities. Has it ever occurred to you what happened, whether this man related to the apostles or not? There is a great work. Blessed be the name of the Lord.